Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
Maya Moore ran the sideline like Julio Jones for that layup.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. We are going to be doing a head-to-head snake draft mock today, set up by Kyle McEwen over at Basketball Monster. He's got a few other industry-based people into this draft, and we're going to be doing that. And I'm going to be showing you me doing a mock draft, and it's going to be on ESPN. I'll flick between the ESPN draft screen. I'll flick between the Basketball Monster draft tracker as well, and you can see how I go about doing my mock draft. As we talked about, or as I talked about with Kyle yesterday, you're going to see how things sort of happen in real time, and yeah, mistakes that might get made or picks that we wish we had have executed. We're going to see how that all goes down as this draft happens. So that'll be, I think we're about 5-10 minutes away from starting that draft. I have pick one in that draft, so it's going to be an interesting exercise to see how all that goes. At this point, I'm going to be picking Jim Harden at pick one, but maybe I'll change in the next few minutes. I don't think so. So we're about 10 minutes away from that. What I want to hit on now is just a little bit of news that's gone down, and a media day started for the NBA today. So lots of information came out. Zach LaVine will not be ready for opening night, as we're well aware. I'm still expecting December or probably January for LaVine, so that there is a risk there. Isaiah Thomas was going to be back in January most likely, and Derrick Rose will be the opening night starting point guard. He still doesn't have much upside in drafts, because we saw last year, even in that huge role he had in New York, he was barely able to crack the top 100. So I don't see him as being this great high upside guy that you're going to get 3 months worth of top 50 value. You're just not going to get that. You might struggle to get top 100 value, and there's just no upside in that sort of a pick. The other information we had is Nerlens Noel won't start. This is something I speculated on once he signed that qualifying offer. A lot of people were getting really excited. Oh, it's going to be contract year, Nerlens. And my thing about that is, and people say this all the time, and it really bothers me, it was his contract year last year. And what incentive did Dallas have to play him big minutes because it's his contract year? They don't have any incentive to do that. Harrison Barnes, the pencil, is best as a power forward. Dirk, at this point, is best as a center. This is what I anticipated would happen with Noel. It is happening. I think we're going to see a bump in Seth Curry's value. It's going to make Noel a lot more volatile. He only played 22 minutes a night for Dallas down the stretch. I've got him projected at 25, and even that, I've bumped it down a little bit. I had him at 26, but maybe 25 is being a little bit aggressive there also. So there is definitely a risk with Noel. He doesn't need big minutes to be a valuable player. Even in 24 minutes a night, he's going to be a top 100 guy, but it definitely takes a lot of the value away from him if they're going to start Dirk there at center and play Noel off the bench. Now, I think they're probably the major points that came out of media day. Tyler Ulis is back healthy. Dennis Smith, Rick Carlisle says he's going to be the starter, which we all knew, which is obviously great news there. Omer Asik is dealing with Crohn's disease, so that's he obviously lost a ton of weight last year with an illness. Maybe it wasn't an illness, maybe it was that Crohn's. That's going to limit him this season. There's no doubt about that. He's going to be limited anyway, but it is going to limit him. And in Denver, the Blue Arrow is they're saying that the point guard position is up for grabs. So there is an element of risk there with drafting Jamal Murray. But you don't have to take him very highly. You can get him relatively late. And as I said, if I say this all the time, we might think that he's going to be a top 70 player. But if you take him at pick 70, you're taking away all that upside. And if you don't get him, oh, I've got to get myself this sleep bonus because someone grabs him at 80. Don't worry about it. Get someone else. It's not the end of the world in that situation. And there is an element of risk there with him, especially if they're leaving that point guard job up for grabs. I think it is going to be Murray that gets that position. I still am very confident about that. But that is what Michael Malone said today. The Bucks said there's no concern with Giannis's knee, so that's a little bit of posturing to get him out of Eurobasket, so I don't think we should be too bothered about that. Chandler Parsons is going to be a full participant in training camp for the Grizzlies, so good news for those of you who are ready to take the Chandler Parsons experience once more and grab him with a last pick, and I'm fully on board with that. I've said that plenty of times. I'm ready to take Parsons with that last pick, because if it works, if he plays 28 minutes a night, if he plays 30 minutes a night, he's going to be a top 100 player, and that's pretty good value with that last pick. Joel Embiid has said he doesn't think he's going to play in all 82 games this season. No shit, I don't think we need to worry about that. We never thought he was going to play 82 games. He's going to have games off. He's going to rest some games, but I'm pretty excited. He's going to be ready for opening night, and I think that getting him in the third round is a reasonable position to draft him, and I think that that's going to win some people some leagues. I'm pretty interested in how that's going to go. Also, Ben Simmons is 100%, not that we had really any doubt there. In Toronto, Jonas Valanciunas is going to remain starting at center. It doesn't mean he's going to get starters minutes. I would expect mid-20s or low to mid-20s at center there. He's a late round fantasy sort of player, while CJ Miles and Norm Powell are still battling for that starting small forward job up in Toronto. So a fair bit of news came out today. I think the major things there is the Isaiah Thomas thing. That's a real stay away to me. Zach LaVine, if you get him outside the top one, you should be treating LaVine and Thomas very, very similar, in my opinion. Because their return timetables are quite the same. Like, if you're taking Thomas at pick 40, I don't think that's a great idea at all for a guy that's not going to be back until January, and then will likely be eased into it when he does return. So, not a great situation for him, clearly. But hey, these are things that do happen, and we've got this information now. So that's good that we've got this information, and we can make these decisions. And my decision is going to be, avoid Isaiah Thomas. Avoid him pretty much at all costs, unless I'm getting him at pick 100 and I can put him in IR. But getting him inside the top 50 is a significant waste. And yeah, he might come back and really get you going for the head-to-head playoffs, but will you have a head-to-head playoffs to get going for? That's the risk if he's going to miss that much time, that we just don't think that he's going to be ready to play. Or he's not going to play enough to get you in a strong enough position by wasting your fourth pick for 3 months. I think that's that is a significant risk there with him. We're still a few minutes away from this draft kicking off, so I'll be back in a sec, and then we'll get cracking with this mock draft. All right, guys, we're a minute or so away here from this draft kicking off, so
let's get to it.
Bring up the screen for the draft. There we go. Minute 27 to go. You'll see there me at pick one, ready to go. Better go to the draft and just get little Jim Harden there in my queue ready, get him ready to draft for when we kick this thing off. So we will be getting that going really, really shortly. And people stress about, oh, who's your top three, who's your top four, top five. I've been talking about this on podcasts before. It doesn't really make that much of a difference. If I got pick one, I could take Russ, I could take KD, I could take Giannis, I could take Towns with that pick. I don't think that I don't think that you're really going wrong there. It's about what you do after. It's about what you do in round three, round four, round five that really sets up your draft. It's really hard to make a mistake with one of those top five, six picks. And I think that no matter which way I went here, I want to go Harden. I like Harden, having him on my team. I think that he's going to take a dip this season, but he was so far ahead of these other guys that it does bring him down. I like having a shooting guard eligible player as well. But if I took anyone, if I took Yanni there, you can see over in Basketball Monster the value of these guys. The difference between pick 6 and pick 3 is 0.02 in standard scores. Giannis is at 1.09, Durant 1.07, Towns 1.07, and Curry 1.06. And he Harden's at 116 and Westbrook's at 113. So we're talking about guys who are really, really close in their overall value. Looks like I'm on the clock, so let's draft Jim Harden at pick one and see how everyone else responds to that. Now, let's see how... I get the feeling that we're going to have Russ go next and we're going to have Yanni go after that. Kyle's at pick four. Let's see how it all pans out. Brian Toporak at pick three. I reckon he'll definitely take Yanni if he's available. So let's see. I'm not sure who this guy is at pick two. So Yanni went at two, Durant at three to Brian. And Kyle's there at pick four. Who is he going to make that selection? So what I'll do now is I'll bring up the draft tracker on Basketball Monster here for those of you watching on the video. And I'll go in now and press my refresh from ESPN button. I've set it all up so that everything is ready to go for this draft. And this will start importing the players onto my team. Kyle is still waiting to make his selection. I think you have to take Russell Westbrook here. We'll see we'll see what McEwen decides to do. The other option to me would be Towns, but I think you got to take Westbrook there at that selection. You can see on the draft tracker, it's updated. I've got James Harden there. Let's go back to the draft window. Kyle's still waiting for his pick. Now, I don't pick again till pick 24, so I've got a long way to wait. Now, I've got Harden. I'd like to grab a big man there, so if I could get Porzingis, if I could get Miles Turner, I'll be wrapped. I probably won't get one of those guys, and what I've done before when I've had pick one is grab Joel Embiid at the start of the third round. So that could be a guy that I'm targeting there. McEwen went with Westbrook at 4. Nick Whalen from RotoWire went with Steph at pick 5. So we've got Towns still on the board at pick 6, which is a little bit of a surprise to me. Eric from Hoopball is up next at pick 6.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
Yeah, I think I'll have to take a big with my selection there at pick at pick 24 or 25, one of those two picks. At this point, I'm probably going to be leaning to punt field goal percentage just with Harden, but it can be recovered from. So I'm not fully locked into a punt strategy yet. Other one I would do, I could look to do field goal percentage and blocks, but if I do get Embiid, which I imagine that I will get at that position, he helps my block numbers, he helps my rebounds, and he's not a high field goal percentage guy, so that looks like a good strategy for me to look into. We had Eric take Towns at pick 6, and then Alex Reclean of RotoWire picked Kawhi at 7, so Anthony Davis still on the board here at pick 8, which I think Andre Snellings has got that pick. Yeah, it's a really nice spot to be getting on Anthony Davis there. Nick Anderson come. James Anderson coming up after that, and Ryan Nouse with pick 10 there. That's the next three guys in line, as you can see up on the screen. A little bit of a shock to me that Davis is still around. He's got a chance to be this is an 8 category head-to-head league, by the way. Yeah, Davis got a chance to be a top 5, top 4 player. I know that the Cousins thing is a concern, but who doesn't have concerns? Towns, Curry, Westbrook, Durant, Harden, all these guys are sharing the court with elite fantasy options as well. So there is that. There is that happening there. So Snellings, who did he make his selection for? Anthony Davis went at 8 there. So we've got James Anderson here at pick 9 making that selection. I think that, look, Nikola Jokic seems like the absolute no-brainer at pick 9. I've got no problem taking LeBron at pick 9. The free throws are a concern, but when head-to-head, you can deal with that. You can punt them. I also don't think that he's going to be as poor a free throw shooter as what he was last season. So James went with LeBron. I think that Ryan is almost 100% going to go with Nikola Jokic here at this selection, and that's probably the way that I would do it. I love Jokic. I'd be more than happy to take him at 9, but a lot of the times I think I would lean a little bit towards LeBron at that position and deal with the free throws later. Ryan, changing things up, went with Boogie at pick 10. So now we've got Jokic sliding down here to 11. Walls there, Gobert's there, Chrissy Paul, they're the other guys that I'd be in consideration there. Kyrie's another option that you could have, but I think that it feels like Jokic stands out to me here at pick 11, but let's see what, I'm not sure who this guy is that's picking here. Chich. All right, let's see how you go with your selection. And I believe number 12 is Mark Roberts. Yeah, number 12 is Mark Roberts. All right, so let's see. After the end of the first round, I'll switch it back over to the draft tracker, and you can see how the first round looks, because it'll show us projected standings. Not that it means too much after the first round. So Jokic went at 12. Jokic went at 11. Johnny Wall went at 12. Let's switch this back now to the draft tracker. The Basketball Monster draft tracker, and we'll push our refresh from ESPN. It will load up all the players that have been selected in that first round, and it will show us how the projected standings look. I imagine that I come out first or second, considering I had the first pick. So there we are. So I'm there at number 1. And Mark had the last pick. He's at number 12. That's the way it generally goes in that first round. So you don't get a huge amount of information by looking at that. Who else went after that? So Mark took John Wall at pick 12, and he took Draymond Green at pick 13. So I would have to think that Mark is looking at a punt point strategy. Wall did score 20 plus last season, but it wasn't 25 or 26. He's got his assists locked up. He's got a really good start there. Some not nice defensive numbers, but he's going to have that issue with free throws and with points with that combination. We've got Ciccone here at 14, ready to make his next pick. Let's switch that back over to the draft screen so you can see how that's all going down. And I'm still a long way away from my pick. It's probably the worst spot to have if I'm broadcasting a mock draft, to have a pick at the turn, just because there is so much room to fill in between. And then I make two picks in a row. Chris Paul at pick 14, I think that's great value. I'd be looking now, Ryan chose DeMarcus Cousins. I'd be looking at Kyrie, but I can see him going with a Rudy Gobert here and really locking down the big man stats. And that's a totally fine strategy to do, especially once you've started off with Boogie. So they're probably the two ways I'd go, Kyrie or Gobert here. I can see Ryan going with Gobert, although he's not a massive fan of punting, and you probably need to do that with the free throw percentage, adding Gobert and Cousins together. So he may not go that direction. No, he went Kyrie, which is totally a fine selection to make there as well. Nick Anderson took Porzingis at 16, a little bit early. It's not a little bit because, again, we're talking about positional scarcity and getting those big men can be tough. Andre went with Rudy Gobert at 17. We've got Alex Reclean ready to come up. We've got Kyle's paused the draft for whatever reason that is. We'll see that when he gets that cracking again. But that's the first 17 gone there. So a few surprises, I guess. Jokic falling to 11, Boogie going at 10, Draymond up to 13, Porzingis at 16, and Gobert sliding to pick 17. Yeah, a few of those are surprises, but nothing is outrageous at all. We don't have any stupid picks going on, which is what you'd expect for a league filled with players or people who do fantasy basketball pretty much for their job, or you know, as a part-time job at least. These people are living and breathing fantasy basketball, so it does make sense that this would be the way it goes. I'm really going to be locking in here on Joel Embiid with one of my picks in that third round. I know that there is a risk involved there, but I'm feeling a lot more confident with him than what a lot of other people are. Jim Butler then goes at pick 18 here. Would have liked him to fall. I didn't think that was going to happen. I think what I'll probably end up targeting is a guy like CJ McCollum or Bradley Beal with my selection at pick 24. Maybe a Mike Conley I go for there. Miles Turner looks like he's sliding. If he is available, I might go Turner Embiid at that next spot. We had at pick 19, Eric took Damian Lillard. You can see Miles Turner on this draft list is down at 31, so maybe he slips through to me. I'm not totally confident that will be the case, but it's starting to look okay that I might get that opportunity to get him at that position. Damian Lillard went at 19 to Eric. Nick Whalen took Kemba Walker at 20, which I believe is too high. I wouldn't select him here. Kyle is on at 21. Actually, now there's no way I'm getting Miles Turner if Kyle is on the board here. So he is going to be selecting him. Or Paul George. Jeez, Paul George is still around. Three picks away from me. So I've got Turner and George as two options here for me. Let's hope so. Come on, Kyle, make your pick and don't make it Miles Turner. And they've got Brian there as well at pick 22. Definitely some interesting options here. Paulie George and Joel Embiid on the draft tracker are the two highest ranked players that are remaining. Kyle took Miles, of course he did. Thank you, Kyle, for being a predictable bastard. All right, so Embiid's going to be my guy at 25, and it all depends on what I do with that other pick. Love a Paul George there. Might also look at a Mike Conley or a Kyle Lowry at that selection. I'm not a huge fan of Kyle Lowry. We know that he's had those disappointments come fantasy playoff time. So that is somewhat of a concern. Conley had his injury issues himself. Well, Lowry's gone to Brian there. So I'm a massive, massive shot here to get Paul George at pick 24. And I am over that 100%. I am 100% in love with that. If I can get Paul George, I just need this last guy here to pass on him to take a CJ or a Gordie Haywood or a Hassan Whiteside who's hanging there at 15. Come on, mate, take the Whiteside bait. That's what we want to do. If that doesn't come through, I think Conley is going to be my pick there at 24, and then Embiid. Because there's no I could go double bigs with Marc Gasol and Embiid, but I'm not ready to take Gasol at 24. I think that we will go with Paul George gone. Damn it. Okay. So I'm looking at Embiid for sure. We'll take him. Let's put him on the board. Let's just draft him. Very much for that. And I think we have to take Conley with the next pick. All right, Mick Conley. So what I'll do now is I'll switch you back over to the draft tracker and show you how my team looks together. Now you can see that I've slipped down to second there after the round two projected standings with Eric moving up to pick one. Totally fine with me. I'm happy being there. Me and Eric project to be a 4-4 draw at this point. I've got Conley. So let's look at our summary here of how the team looks versus the top players, the one I will look at. You know, strong in points, good starting points. You need to have that strong early starting points. Good in threes, good in assists, good block numbers, good free throw numbers. My rebounds are a bit low. My steals are a bit low, but I can get steals late. I can grab a Jingle and Joe Ingles later on to get some steals up. My field goal percentage, below average. I'm probably going to be looking at punting that category now, so I can go up to the punt categories and turn that off if I want. I'm not ready to do that just yet because I want to see the other players there in order, but I'm not going to be paying too much attention to my field goal percentage, and I'm going to need a big with one of my next picks. So I'm pretty happy with how that started off. That's you know, when I've had pick one before, that's the way I've gone. Harden, actually not true because it was in the Red Rock Listener League where we've got 3-point percentage. I took Curry at one, and then I took Embiid at the start of the third round as well. But I'm pretty happy with that. I understand that the risks are involved there, but I'm happy with how that turned out. Let's have a look how the draft has panned out since then. Hassan Whiteside was the next pick off the board, and Kyle has gone. Actually, that's not true. Marc Gasol was the next pick off the board at 26. Brian went with Hassan Whiteside, and Kyle has gone. Yusuf Nurkic, Nick Whalen's gone. Kevin Love. You can see big men flying off the board here. I'm not picking again for a while, so I'm going to be looking at getting a guy like Al Horford, I believe, as a big man there. Maybe Brooke Lopez slips to me. I would have gone with Nurkic if Kyle hadn't have come in and shafted me there and grabbed him. I'm not going to get my hands on a guy like Blake Griffin, which is disappointing. But again, in a head-to-head situation, I'm happy with how my blocks look. If I'm not strong in rebounds, then I'm not strong in rebounds. So that's you know, I'm okay with being able to deal with those issues. Where are we next? Who's the next selection? Still waiting on Eric to make his pick. CJ McCollum at 30. I think that's fantastic value. And whoever takes Bradley Beal next is going to get fantastic value Alex is up at pick 31. Eric just made that pick of McCollum. And getting Brad Beal at 31 is a good selection if he makes it. We'll see what. Oh, Gordon Hayward. And that's fine for Gordon Hayward. His ADP was higher than that, I believe. It's like 24. 31 is totally fine for Gordon Hayward. Completely on board with this. I'm not sure why. Now, Andre's on auto pick here, so he's probably going to end up with Isaiah Thomas, which is going to be an interesting pick. If that happens, you never will pick him at this spot. I think that's pretty clear. All right. Kyle has paused the draft. So let's go back in and have a look at what's going on. Draft is poor. Ricky Rubio goes off the board for Snellings. Totally makes sense. I'm okay with that pick. You know, I'm a big Rubio fan. He was really high up on my list here, up on the draft tracker. Thomas is the guy. You know, we're expecting him at the moment to miss about 40 games. Yeah, back in January, that's half the season. No one wants to deal with that. We just don't want anything to do with that from that sort of situation. James Anderson takes Klay Thompson at 33. Cannot believe that Bradley Beal is still around here. Ryan will not let Bradley Beal pass. I'm fairly certain of that. He will take Braddles here. Chris Middleton looking like really good value here. Paul Millsap. Yeah, there goes. Ryan takes Bradley. Bradley Beal knew that was going to be the case. Jeff Teague is one of those players who's ranked too high on ESPN, so interesting to see what they do there with his pre-draft ranking of 44. I believe that is too high. DeMar DeRozan at 35 is a little bit too high there also. In terms of looking at the draft tracker, the best rated available players is Bledsoe, Griffin, Middleton, and Millsap with Vucevic, Schroeder, Holiday, and Lopez coming after that. So that's the way that looks. Won't necessarily go that way. I said about Jeff Teague being ranked too high. Mallow's there at 43. Way too high for Carmelo Anthony. We're well aware of that. Take any of these guys ahead of him. Alfred Payton, Dennis Schroeder, Batum, Ibaka. There you go. Ciccone takes Chris Middleton at 35. Strong pick. Let's see what Mark Roberts does here at 36, and this is going to round out round three, and then we can have a look at how the draft tracker looks at the projected standing. So we'll bring up the draft tracker again. Let's see, once Mark makes a pick, he picked DeAndre Jordan, so we can clearly tell what strategy he is now going for. That punt free throw, as I mentioned earlier, as he started with John Wall and Draymond Green, he was leaning towards a punt free throw. He's definitely a punt free throw guy now. Let's see how that plays out. At the moment, after two rounds, Roberts is projected to be the last player, but that addition of DeAndre Jordan might change things around significantly. And as you can see, it does. It pushes me to number one. Yay, me. That's probably because I'm looking at my own projections, but it moves Mark right up from the last projection up to the third, up to the fourth spot, because that, you know, really solidifies numerous categories for him. And that's, you know, the things that can happen in these head-to-head type leagues. Paulie Millsap goes to Roberts there at pick 37 as well. You know, that's the right spot for Millsap. He's never going to return to be a top 15 player or a top... He was never a top 15 player in my mind anyway, but he's not going to come back to being a second-round type guy. But he's strong in that third and fourth-round area. Dennis Schroeder going at 38. Some might say it's aggressive. I think it's absolutely fantastic to get him there. I think that's, you know, he's got the ability to actually push higher than that, and I think his floor is... You know, maybe 45. I think that's a really good spot there. Eric Bledsoe's being held off on. I was a bit worried about Bledsoe. I think reasonably so. But these days, I'm less worried. I just don't think the league is going to tolerate any bullshit of shutting him down for 2 months and letting him sit while healthy. There's the chance that he gets traded to another team and then he won't get sat down. But I just don't think that the league will tolerate them just sitting down their best player for months and months in a row. I don't think that's going to happen. So I've got a level of confidence. But if we look at my draft tracker, the two top players on per game value are Thomas and Bledsoe, and they are sliding, and they're sliding for an obvious reason. Ryan Nowes picks at pick 39, D'Angelo Russell. Love that pick there as well. There's a little bit of risk in that, but I think that he can get to that level pretty comfortably. I would have more happily taken him at my type of selection at, you know, pick 48. I would have been looking at grabbing a guy like Russell there. Actually, one thing I want to talk about is looking at the statistical scarcity. If we go up to this area here, categorical scarcity, you can look at how red points are. People will say, oh, you can get points anywhere. You can't. Look at how hard it is to get points. It's a negative 2.43. Every other category doesn't even exceed one. Or actually, no other category exceeds negative 0.5, and that's assists, which is the second toughest category to get. Steals is the easiest at the moment, followed by field goal percentage, and then threes and free throws. But getting points, if you don't get points early, so Mark doesn't have the points, he's punted it, he's done, he can't get them. I'm decently strong in points, but it's not my major strength. And Ciccone here is at number two. He's weak in points. He's not going to be able to compete in points, and he's not going to be able to get those numbers up unless he just somehow gets DeRozan, he gets Wiggins, he gets Booker with all these next couple of picks, which seems unlikely that he's going to be able to do that. Back to the draft. Andre on auto pick took Isaiah Thomas at pick 41, and then Blake Griffin at 40. Somehow two pick 41s according to ESPN, so that's interesting. But Thomas there, hate it. But you know, I think the auto pick might have come into play there. Blake Griffin at 42, love it. Actually, no, Isaiah. I think I know what's happening here. Kyle is going through and saying, no, mate, you're on auto pick, but I'm not letting you take Isaiah. So he took Isaiah off the board there and gave him back to Blake. So Isaiah is still available in this draft. Alex took Al Horford, which is exactly who I was trying to target with my next pick. So I've got to reassess what I'm going to do here with my selections. We've still got Eric Bledsoe around. I want to be targeting Nikola Vucevic here. Get my rebounding numbers up. He's not a helpful shot blocker or anything, but he can block a shot per game, but he's going to give me some okay scoring, and he's going to give me that strong rebounding and a solid center player to pair along with Joel Embiid. So he's going to be one of the guys I get here. The other guy I could look at is maybe Brookie Lopez. He's dealing with a back problem, so it's a little bit of a concern. Or the other guy I really want to look at is if Bledsoe falls there, he's going to come into play for me. Or I was going to say Victor Oladipo, but Eric just took him there at that selection. So we had Horford at 42, Oladipo at 43, and Waylon then took Serge Ibaka at pick 44. I'm still looking for, I can't even see Vucevic on this board. This is a joke that Vucevic is ranked behind Marcin Gortat. To me, there's 100 spots of value difference between those two guys. There is under absolutely zero circumstances would I be taking Gortat ahead of Vucevic. It makes no sense whatsoever. A really, really weird ranking there. Kyle on the board here at 45. DeMar DeRozan, Eric Bledsoe still around. Bledsoe is going to come into my calculations here at this point. There is that risk, and it is a pretty significant risk of him missing those games. But as I said, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable with it, and Kyle took Eric Bledsoe, so I don't need to worry about feeling comfortable about it anymore. DeMar DeRozan is going to look appealing for me in two picks if he is still around. The iron shoulder, Goran Dragic, is an interesting selection there also. Vuce is the guy that I want. Vuce is the guy that I'm really wanting to put some value on. Bob Cove also available. If I miss him, I miss him. I'm not going to pick him here at this spot. I'd rather grab him in my next lot of back-to-backs if he is available. Toporek takes Otto Porter Jr. Not for me. Just doesn't do enough to really get my parts tingling. Might want to grab a point guard here, actually. Maybe I do take the iron shoulder. Goran Dragic and Nick Vucevic. That's what happens when you prepare for something and then some bastard comes in one pick ahead of you and takes the guy that you want, reaches down the list and grabs Nikola Vucevic. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to have to reassess what I want to do here. I want a big. Did Brook Lopez go and I missed it? 34 seconds left. Let's take Dragic, but I'm going to stretch it out so I've got a little bit of extra time. Who else do I take here? Clint Capella is an interesting name that I might wait on and get. Let's take Dragic there and see how that looks for my team. It definitely means I'm lacking in those rebounding numbers. This is going to be the concern. I need a big man. Now I'm really thinking about this. Nikola Mirotic, Aaron Gordon, probably a little bit early for those guys. I'm not ready to punt free throws, but am I free throws strong enough to absorb Clint Capella? I'm sitting at 83% as a team, so maybe. I don't know what just happened to my draft. It apparently auto-drafted Robert Covington and LaMarcus Aldridge, even though I pushed Goran Dragic, so that's extraordinarily frustrating. So I'm not actually sure what happened with that ESPN draft app. Then you guys are my witness. You saw me click draft player on Goran Dragic. So let's I now have to adjust and auto drafting happens. Pain in the ass. Don't know why it did that to me, but here I am. Yeah, talking all this shit on the show. And there we go. That's what happened. So I can see that this gentleman Ness just took the two guys that I want, Vooch and Dragic. That's a really disappointing thing that didn't click when I clicked Dragic on that selection. Kyle goes with Andre Drummond there at 52. Toporek with Nick Batum at 51. So let's have a look at how my team looks out now. If I go across to the draft tracker window on Basketball Monster and have a look at how my values stretch out, like it's not a bad selection to have gotten Aldridge and Covington there. My field goal percentage is struggling. I've got my rebounds up. I can recover from this. I do need to get a point guard, but I can get a guy like Jeremy Lin a little bit later, Darren Collison. I can maybe grab a Markel Fultz if he is available a bit later on. The Blue Arrow is another option for me. Lin's going to be a guy I'm heavily targeting. But yeah, I'm okay with how my team looks. The projections like how my team looks as well. I'm still sitting there at number one. You can see Roberts has moved up to number three with his strong punt strategy. So I'm okay. I'm not okay with those selections, but you know, I'm fine getting Covington there. Aldridge, yeah, for all the shit that Aldridge gets, he actually fitted what I needed with his rebounding ability. So I am you know, not totally disappointed with it as much as I am. Let's see. All right, let's move this back to the draft window and see where this is going. We had DeRozan go at 53 to Whale, and that's a strong pick. Jimmy Johnson to Eric at 54. Now, they said that Jim Johnson is going to start at power forward in Miami. I think that's way too early. I just don't see any upside there from Eric to pick James Johnson. I know that Jimmy Johnson was fantastic last season, but I don't think he was a top 50 guy. We've got Drew gone at 55 there. Really strong pick to take Drew Holiday there. Devin Booker and Andrew Wiggins. I'm surprised Booker is actually still available. I'd be okay with grabbing him at this point. Yeah, there we go. Andre/Kyle just took him there at that selection. Then we've got James Anderson coming up next. As you can see, Isaiah Thomas still really, really falling here at pick 19. At rank 19, he's still available. Andrew Wiggins goes off the board to James Anderson at 57. Those two guys that I just mentioned are now both off the board. Ryan Nouse. Let's see if I can predict who Ryan's going to pick here. No, I can't. Maybe he takes Lonzo. Yeah, maybe Lonzo. I think that the guy I want to really be targeting here is Clint. I've got my free throw percentage up to 82.7 on 6 attempts, which is a Z score of 3.21. I can absorb Clint Capella. So Clint Capella is a guy that I want to look at my next pick if he's available. I do get the feeling that Roberts, with his punt free throw strategy, is going to be loading up a Capella. He's going to fit what he wants to do really perfectly. So that is an issue. Ryan takes Gaz Harris.
No!
So that's a solid pick for Harris. Now, we know that his ADP is much higher than that. It's like up around 100. But when you're drafting with people who know what they're doing, you might have to go earlier on him. But just make sure you're not going too early. But this is a fine spot to take Gaz there. Really concerned that Roberts is going to take my man Clint Capella there at pick 60 or 61. It's not his selection yet. We've got a few guys here who are hanging fire. Isaiah Thomas, Carmelo Anthony, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
Down further down the list, Gortat, Šarić, Crowder, Jabari Parker, these guys who are too high in these rankings, and I think you'll find them just continually sitting there. Levine's coming there at 78, Zebo at 81. They're going to continually sit at the top of that at that ranking list. All right. Lord Alfred Payton goes at 59. Really, really strong pick here. I think Roberts would have been targeting Payton with that selection. I think that would have worked out well for him to get those assist numbers stronger again. Let's see who he takes here, and then we'll switch it back over to the draft tracker to see how the projected standings look after five rounds. Yeah, I'm almost positive that Clint Capella is going to go here to Mark. Jeff Teague goes at pick 60, so he gets his point guard there. And that is a totally fine spot for Teague. I wouldn't be taking him at 44, but at pick 60, there's no issue with whatever with that. So let's refresh it. My team has dropped down. We've got Andre at the top, Kyle at number two, and Ness at pick three. Roberts' value has dropped down. But again, we're still looking at this. We're still, you know, playing these values out and trying to get some more stuff happening. I need to work on my assists. I need a point guard. I need some more rebounds. They're the categories that I need to be looking at with my next couple of picks. Capella's going to help the steals and rebounds, and I need to get myself a point guard. So Lin and Capella are going to be two of the guys I look at. The other player I can look at if I don't get Capella which I'm not sure if I will, is Aaron Gordon. I think he is going to be a pretty strong option here at this position. Really excited about what he can do this season. Roberts takes Avery Bradley, so the Capella train is still available for me. I'm really happy with that. Let's see if he does last all the way through to me. The other guy that's going to come into consideration at some point is going to be the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari. Feel okay about him, especially when we're getting down to this late of an area of picks. I think there is some value there. I think Avery Bradley may be a little bit high there, but when you're picking at the turn like I am and like Mark is, you've got to grab the guy that you want for what you want to do, because by the time it comes back to your next pick, it's just not going to be there. So let's see how this pays. Marquise Chris goes at 63 to Ryan now, so we know that Ryan and the other Roto-World guys are really high on Marquise Chris. Again, I feel like you're just lopping off a little bit of his value taking him there, but he could easily exceed that, and there's not many players who have a triple 1.5 upside, which is exactly what Chris has. Markel Fultz goes to James Anderson. Good selection there. Surprising that Fultz has gone off the board before Lonzo Ball. I'm definitely going to be having to consider Lonzo if he falls to my pick. Not considering. If Lonzo falls to he's gone now. I would have taken him. Andre Snelling's picked him there at pick 65. It's Alex Reclean back on the board now. And you see some of these names who shouldn't be that high hanging fire. Jeng, Gortat, Šarić as three of the top five remaining guys on the draft window. I'll bring that window back up for you guys. Jeng as well. So Jeng, Gortat, Šarić really hanging there. Let's see what Reclean does. I'm six picks away from my selection. I'm going to be looking at Capella, and I'm probably going to be looking at Lin with this pick. That's the way that it's my current thought process is. Get some assists, get some rebounds. Two categories I really need to pay some attention to. So Lin's going to help my scoring as well. Capella's going to help my steals. Capella might even actually push my field goal percentage into a stronger area. And I do have the free throws. I do have the free throw volume to be able to withstand that, especially when I'm looking at the competing against the guys at the top. I'm going to beat Kyle. I'm going to beat Andre. I'm going to beat Mark in free throws pretty comfortably. So the guys who are all around my area, I'm going to beat them in those free throws. And I say all this, and Clint Capella just goes off the board to Alex there at pick 66. Eric's up at pick 67. Let's see what direction he wants to take this one in. I'm going to have to reassess. I need rebounding. So to me, it's going to be Aaron Gordon that's going to be my target next. So I'll look at Gordo and I'll look at Jeremy Lin. They're going to be my next two picks. Let's do a name search for Big Azza. Grab him there. Get him ready in case this thing decides to not select the guys that I want. So Aaron Gordon is going to be my target there. Julius Randle off the board at 67. You know what I think of Julius Randle? I think that's a bit too high for him. I'm not a massive Julius Randle fan, but he does have the opportunity for a big year. Benny Simmons off at 68. Kyle just took Jeremy Lin at pick 69.
Giggity.
Got to reassess that. So who's the point guard I'm going to get now? Do I take Brogo? Do I take the Blue Arrow? Do I wait and grab a point guard later on? Maybe I look at grabbing the Rooster here along with Aaron Gordon. I think that's possibly what I will do, is take Gallinari here in this position and grab myself that big man there and Aaron Gordon to help me out with the rebounds. Oh, no, I don't, because Danilo Gallinari just got selected. Why am I on auto pick? No, I don't want auto pick on. Auto pick is off. Just realized I was on auto pick. That would have been an absolute mess. All right, so I'm going to be taking Aaron Gordon with this selection. And as you can probably see, or you probably saw before, but on Draft Track, he's not the number one player. There, Gallinari is, and then it's Levine and Thomas on a per-game basis. You know, Rondo's there as an option. Maybe I take Rondo. Can I afford Rondo's bullshit? I like his assist numbers there. They could be really helpful. I can absorb the points. The free throw, it's not a real concern given his low volume. Maybe he is an option here for me. It's really against my brand to take him, but I need those assist numbers. So maybe he is the option here for me. Assists are becoming a hard category to find. So, I'd have to consider that as an option. I'm going to take Gordo first. He's going to be my first play here. I'm on the board. Let's make sure that this button works. You just saw me click it. Draft player, Aaron Gordon. Thank you very much. Let's take the Rajon Rondo. Yeah, very off-brand for me, but there we go. Want to get some assists happening. Let's refresh that now. Go back onto the draft tracker and see how that looks for my team. See what that does to my standings. It is going to hurt my points getting Rondo, no doubt. But I did have a fairly good situation. My team was averaging 20 points per game before those two selections. It's going to drop because Gordon's more of a 17 point per game player and Rondo's like a 10 point per game guy. So it's going to drop it a bit. But I'm pretty happy with the bump I should get in boards, assists, and it's not going to worry. I'm not going to worry about my free throw percentage there. Still waiting for this to refresh because my internet is extraordinarily slow, as you've heard me complain about plenty of times before. Let's see where we're at with the draft. We've got Ness back on the clock. I don't know who he's going to be selecting yet. He's got 19 seconds left. Not refreshing quick. Let's go back to the draft window. Nerlens Noel at 74. Now, I spoke about Noel off the top. It would have been a great selection, I think, at that spot if we had had a level of confidence that he was going to start and play those minutes, but we don't. And that's the real concern. If he plays 22 minutes a night, it's probably too high. If he plays 25 minutes a night, it's probably right on. So I think there is some value there in that pick. There is a level of upside, but he definitely became a riskier player. Now, Brian has bitten the bullet. He's taken Isaiah Thomas at pick 75. I don't actually hate it at 75. I would probably let it slide down to 90 or so, but that's okay. For me, Levine is outside the top 100 player in my mind, and Parker is really not draftable except for your last selection. That's how they're the three major injury guys. Let's go back to the draft tracker now and have a look how this all looks for my team. So I'm up there in third position. You can see my team, decent points here. Still, as opposed to the rest of the league, though, my points aren't that strong. My threes are okay. My rebounds are good. Really good assists. Really good steals. Really good block numbers and strong free throw percentage still. My field goal percentage, we're not caring about that. So what I do need to look at, I need to find a way to get some rebounds and threes, which I will get as well. So they're the two categories that I'm the weakest in, and free throw percentage. So a guy that I'm going to be looking at here is Nikola Mirotic. He is the guy that I want next. We've had some other picks go off the board. Toby Harris went to Kyle at 76. Nick Whalen chose Dwight Howard at 77. And Eric chose Jay Crowder at 78. Not on board with that pick there at all either. I just can't see Crowder being able to return that sort of a value. I want to get Mirotic with my next select. I've seen a lot of people saying the Bulls are going to start Markkanen, they're going to start Portis. I just don't see it. Or they're going to start Mirotic at the three. Again, horrendous idea. I'm all aboard. I'm all aboard Mirotic. And my next selection is going to be fairly late here. We're talking about a pick close to pick 100. I'm all aboard Mirotic. He fits exactly what I need. I think he's got clear top 50 upside this season, as dumb as that might sound. People hate on him. I know that. I know he's my boyfriend. I know all of this stuff. I'm okay. We're taking him at pick 100. I think there's some pretty good value there for him at that selection. Dennis Smith off the board at pick 79 and Trevor Ariza at pick 80 for Andre Snellings. You can see Gortat, Šarić, Parker, these guys, it shouldn't be that high falling. Gorgui Dieng shouldn't be that high. Valanciunas at 64. Now, JV is going to be an interesting player for me, I believe, just because I need rebounding. So he is going to, I'm going to have some interest in grabbing a guy like Jonas Valanciunas. But whether I do or not remains to be seen. So he is a name that's on my board, clearly. Who else have we got here? We've got James Anderson on the board. Who's going to be the guy that takes Zach Randolph here? Or Wilson Chandler or Dwayne Wade at 83? They're very high numbers for those sorts of players. Willie Hernan Gomez. Enes Kanter's a guy that's going to start to have a level of intrigue coming up. I've got no doubt about that. Thad Young, Malcolm Brogdon, they should be players that start going off the board. James Anderson takes Lou Williams. I've definitely soured on Lou Williams for this season. He's a nice points and threes, and he's a good free throw influencer, so that's something that does have value. I think that with my next two picks, if it's available, I want to grab Brogo, and I want to grab Nikola Mirotic, or I grab Mirotic and Valanciunas to get those rebounding numbers up. That's the way I'm looking at the moment. Nouse took Willie Cauley-Stein at pick 82. Strong pick there for him. That helps him with those big man numbers. Steve Adams is another option, but the free throw percentage, I'm not going to be able to absorb that, so I won't take him. And another guy that I'm going to be looking at late is Dewayne Dedmon to help with my big man numbers. Timmy Hardaway should be coming off the board soon, I would assume. He's a decent option here. We're almost at the end of round 7 here, so I'm going to be able to do an update on the projected standings there also to see how it all pans out. Okay. Timmy Hardaway goes at 83, Nikola Mirotic to mark at 84, and Chrissy Dunn at 85 to mark. Now, all about Dunn, but not at 85. Sorry, Mark, but picking Mirotic there is definitely a huge, huge pain in the ass, so I do give you a shout out for that. So this is really going to put Valanciunas firmly in my grasp as the guy that I want to have a look at this spot. Let's click back to the draft window. Harrison Barnes at 86. Yeah, not bad. I still think it's high for Barnesy. You've heard me speak about that before. Valanciunas, he's in my mind a player who's an option here, but I'm just not Yeah, I'm just not sure about it. I'm double thinking. That's not the right word. Second guessing. That's the word I'm looking for. TJ Warren goes to Ryan at 87. People might think that's early. Warren's got top 50 upside. Derek Favors at 88. He's got that ability to bounce back from where he was last season. So that's a solid pick. Again, people just grabbing the guys that they want here, not really concerning too much about value or draft spot or anything like that. Rocket Rodney Hood to Andre Snellings at 89. We've got Alex coming up. I am six picks away from my selection. Not really sure which way I'm going to go at this point. Yeah, Dedmon is really intriguing, but I think it's too early for him. Do I take a guy like Enes Kanter? He's just got such huge upside. Maybe I'll look at Kanter over JV. I think I'm getting into that direction. Let's see. Enes Kanter. I think at pick 96, Kanter's a strong selection there. The other guy that I should be looking at, and I probably will look at, is Marcus Smart. But my steals are strong, my assists are strong. I don't care about his field goal percentage, clearly. I think Smart is someone to look at. Brogo is also another decent option. Thad Young for his rebounding could be worth a look here. But I think grabbing Kanter and getting Marcus Smart is going to be my pairing here, if I can. Now, let's see who's gone. Alex took Thaddeus Young at 90, 91. Eric took Malcolm Brogdon, a really strong pick there. And Nick Wayland. Oh, Kyle, can you just go and... Nick took Evan Fournier at 92, and Kyle took Marcus Smart at 93, because he is a arsehole. Simple as that. Let's reassess. Kanter is going to be one of my guys. Smart was clearly going to be one of my guys, and I'm going to have to reassess that now. I do need another point guard. Is it Georgie Hill that I take here? I think he definitely has to come into consideration. Do I take Taurean Prince? Probably not. Yeah, probably not. Darren Collison. Too early to grab Colo. He's such a poor rebounder, though. I need some stronger rebounding players here. Who am I going for? I think it has to be Kanter for me. So Steve Adams, Pat Beverley gone. Let's take Enes Kanter there for me. Really get my rebounding numbers strong. And then who do we go with? Is it Seth Curry? Is it Darren Collison? I think it might be Collison. All right. Not Nick. Darren Collison. Let's add him to the list. And then we'll switch the window back over to the draft tracker and have a look how my team plays out there. You know, I really was considering Taurean Prince there, Georgie Hill. Dwayne Dedmon's going to be a guy that I do target a little bit later on. With these draft picks lately, my field goal percentage, which is something I wasn't really caring about, has come back to being average. I'm still really strong in points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. My free throws are still really good, but I've got my field goal percentage back up, which is, yeah. Again, you're not aiming to be the worst in a category when you're punting something. My projected standings, I've moved back up to second here. I'm happy with that, with Toporek there at number one and Kyle at number three. So that's the top three guys there. And all I'm projected to be 4-4 with all those guys. And you can see here in my summary versus top, I've got strong points. I've got strong rebounds. Anything over two. If you're at three, it's really good. If you're over two, it's pretty good. So strong points, strong rebounds, good assists, good steals, good blocks, good free throw percentage. What I really want to do here is strengthen some of these categories with these next couple of picks. So I want to grab some more steals. I want to grab a Taurean Prince to help my steals. I want to get some threes up with Seth Curry. I want to get Dwayne Dedmon to get some rebounds. These are some options that I am definitely looking at. The picks that have gone, Ness picked Markieff Morris and Toporek picked George Hill. Strong selection there from Brian, I think, of George Hill in that position. Could come to bite him in the ass come fantasy playoffs, given the potential for rest, but... or the potential for the occasional rest. There is that level there. Having a look at my team. All right, so who else has gone off the board? Well, there goes my option of Taurean Prince. Kyle took Brandon Ingram, Nick took Kent Bazemore, and Eric took Taurean Prince. So that option of me selecting Taurean there is gone. I've still got Jinglin Joe Ingles as an option up my sleeve. I'm looking at Greggy Munro as a selection there. Also Seth Curry and Dwayne Dedmon, some of the other names that are on my radar here. But now I've got one more starting spot and then some bench guys. So it's time to take flyers on guys. So do I look at a Joshy Richardson? Do I look at a Bogdan Bogdanovic? Do I look at Denzel Valentine? Reggie Jackson is a strong pick here. I'm really interested in what he's going to provide this season. I think he is strong. Skel Labissiere is an option. Jermichael Green is also a guy I want to take a peek at this spot. Rudy Gay off the board to Reclean there at pick 103. And now Snellings is on the board. What's he going to do with his selection? He chooses Miloš Teodosic, who's up now. James Anderson. Anderson, who has selected Zach LaVine. So he's gone for the injury risk there. You can see these guys that shouldn't have been as ranked as high as they are continuing to be there. The top of your draft list, Jeng, Gortat, Šarić, Valanciunas too high, Parker too high, Randolph too high. Yeah, Wade, Chandler, too high, too high, too high. I'm getting interested in taking Jeng now at this point, though. We're getting to that stage where he's becoming an option. We don't know exactly what Thibodeau is going to do with him, but he is clearly becoming an in-play guy here at this spot in the draft. So I wouldn't be against that. Kid Gilchrist off the board to now sort of 106. Then we've got Ciccone here at 107 and Mark Roberts back at 108 to round out the ninth round. And then we can assess how that looks projected standings-wise. Frank Kaminsky ranked way too high on ESPN, 97. That's bananas. Jordan Clarkson at 99, too high for me. Also, Jason Tatum, 107. What's happening? What are they smoking? That's crazy. Marcus Morris at 114. How about a big pile of no? How about this, actually?
No, 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 no!
Exactly. All right, let's have a look. Oh, Jingling Joe's gone at 107. That's what happens when you have your heart set on, guys. The next guy that's going to go, that's going to piss me off no end, is going to be it's going to be The Undertaker. It's going to be Dwayne Dedman. Bud Heald off the board to Mark Roberts. The thing is, if I take Dedman here, what it really does is it moves me into a punt threes build, really hurts my threes. It hurts my points, but it actually moves me into a strong position in field goal percentage. It bumps up my rebound. So this is a way of pivoting during the draft, which is something I talk about quite often. Have a look, is this going to, if it's going to give you a benefit in three categories and hurt you in one, then you do it, even if it's a change in course. Having guys like Harden and Conley, you go, oh, why are you punting points? Like, I'm not necessarily thinking of it. It just depends on how it all pans out and how my team looks in terms of certain strengths. So getting Dedman might actually be useful for me here. I could get Greggy Monroe and do the same thing, get some nice rebounding numbers, boost my field goal percentage up, but there's obviously a risk with him also. Roberts took Pau Gasol with his selection. So after nine rounds, let's have a look how the projected standings look. You can see there I'm in third position. Ness is ahead of me, but I'm projected to beat him 5-3, and Toporek on top, and we're projected to be a 4-4 tie. So really, really close. But the problem is the two guys below me, McEwen and Ciccone, I'm projected to lose to those guys 3-5, so I'd really need to pay attention to how all that pans out with those teams when I'm facing off against them and strengthening my team throughout the season. We've got Ciccone back on the board now, and he has just made a selection. Seth Curry, that was a guy that I was definitely looking at picking there. Nouse on the board here. Let's see if I can take a guess on who Ryan is going to take. I'm not really sure who he's going to go for here. Reggie Jackson's on the board for me for sure. I think, come on, Ryan, let's surprise me, unless he's going to go Dedman. I think Reggie Jackson's on my board here. Dedman and Reggie are two guys I'm going to be looking at. Nouse took Marvin Williams, Anderson, Jonas Valanciunas, great value there. Snelling's with Dirk, Rekleen with JJ Redick. Eric, I think Eric's going to take Šarić, yeah? That's my guess. I like trying to predict people's picks. No, he took Gorgui Dieng. Really, really strong pick there as well. Love that pick. Nick Whalen takes Eric Gordon. They're at pick 116. Kyle's on the board. You're going to kill me again, Kyle? Are you really going to get inside my head here and make me call your names once more? Probably. Come on, Kyle, make your pick. All right, so I'm thinking Reggie Jackson with my selection. I'm thinking Jackson and Dedman, perhaps. Yeah, Valentine and Joshie Richardson are really in play here. McEwen took LeBissiere. Like that selection. We're really into flyer territory. I've got one active roster spot to fill, and that's fine. So we really are getting into flyer type territory now, and there's quite a few good flyer options who are around. All right, Caldwell Pope off the board to Toporak. Ness is up next, and then it is up to me, and I think Reggie will be my guy here when it's time for me to pick. And there it is, the blue swimmer is off the board, so I am going to take Reginald Jackson with my selection. I think he's got upside. He doesn't have top 50 upside because of the way that Stan Van Gundy does limit his point guards. We've seen that time and time again. I think it's time to bring the dead man in. Dwayne. All right, let's go with you, Mr. Dedman. Really mix things up a bit. As a bench player, I'm happy with that. And let's have a look now how that affects my team. It is going to impact it. It's going to make my threes really weak. It's going to make my field goal percentage fairly strong or decently strong. And it's a bit of a change in the way that my team looks. After 10 rounds, I'm sitting in fourth. but you know, with decent competitiveness against these teams that are ahead of me. So I'm okay with that. Let's have a look at how that looks on my team. So you see my points value has dropped. My threes are in now. You know, don't give a shit about category, but I can easily stream those in. I can add Nick Young. I can add the Duke Wayne Ellington. I can add Troy Daniels. I can add Alex Abrines at any point to get some threes, and I can help there. Strong assists, decent steals. I need to get those steals up. Field goal percentage, weak. Really good free throws, really good blocks, really good assists. They're my strengths. Rebounds are strong as well. What I want to do, I'd like to be able to get some steals here. So Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is on the board for me. Jermichael Green is on the board for me here at this spot. Denzel and Joshie Richardson as flyer types. Well, Richardson would have been, but he's gone. Ness took Bogdan Bogdanovic. Toporek took Wilson Chandler and Kyle. Of course he did. Kyle took Joshie Richardson with his selection there. Denzel still on my board. Rondae, a guy that I'm looking at here to boost some steal numbers, get some rebound numbers happening as well. Pretty decent shot blocker. I think Rondae is going to be my option. Nick Whalen has taken Joshie Jackson there in at that spot. Let's bring up Hollis Jefferson into my search bar there. Bring him up. So I've got two picks left. Eric takes Rashawn Holmes, and I'm totally fine with taking Rashawn Holmes at this spot. I've seen people go into the 7th round or 8th round to get him. That's bananas to me. It's ridiculous. Getting him at this spot is fine. You might find that after week one and Embiid is playing, you drop him. You're not going to be able to hold on to him for the entire season, but it is worth a look. But yeah, it's probably not for me. Racine takes Ryan Anderson. I'm out on Ryan Anderson this season. Bill Hernan Gomez is still around, so he's a decent option. The top of this list, though, looks pretty piss poor. Šarić shouldn't be drafted. Gortat, Parker, Randolph, Wade, Rose, probably none of those guys should be really drafted. Kaminsky, Clarkson, most likely. Matthews, take it or leave it. Mason Plumlee, you're dreaming. Jason Tatum, no thank you. Deion Waiters, yeah, I'm surprised Waiters hasn't gone here, actually. He's starting to look like he's a value option at this spot in the draft. We've got Snelling's on the board here, which I believe is Kyle taking over for that one. Let's see. Jermichael Green off the board, really, really good pick there as well. That's a good option. I am really targeting Rondae with my next selection. Let's see if he slips. James Anderson on the board to get us through here in the 11th round. Oh, there goes Rondae. All right, time for me to go back and reassess what I'm doing, because Rondae was obviously a guy that I wanted. Joshie Richardson was a guy that I wanted. Bogdan was a guy that I wanted. I think Waiters is becoming an option here. He's becoming an option. Tyreek is becoming an option here for me. I think I've really got to consider Evans as a guy to look at. Justin Holiday, is he a play at this point? Yeah, he is coming into consideration. Denzel, is he a guy? Maybe. Not fully sold on grabbing him yet. Bill Hernan Gomez off the board there to Ryan Nauss, and then Ciccone is up. So, oh yeah, it's look, Greggy Munro, he's sliding way too far. Like, if he comes around, then I will get him, and you know, I think he can be way better than what within this draft spot, which for me is going to be like pick 140 something. We're almost ready to look at what happens at the end of round 11 here in terms of projected standings. Got two picks to go to finish off round 11. There goes Denzel Valentine's gone to Ciccone, Šarić to Mark Roberts, and Terrence Ross to Mark Roberts. Let's have a look now how this looks in terms of projected standings. I was projected fourth at the end of round 10. Let's see if I move up or move down, if anyone else has changed their positioning as it refreshes itself. Anyone else? Terrence Ross is a decent flyer pick, and that, again, that's what we're looking at here with these selections. All right, this is updated on the draft tracker. Let's bring it up so you can see it. I've moved down to fifth there in that selection, but I'm still feel pretty okay. Like, I'm got a projected record against the fourth guy is better and equal with the top three guys. The Ciccone team, which has been sniping me, you know, or taking guys that I've wanted, as has Ness, they are projected to beat me as well. In fact, they're the only team in the projected standings that's projected to beat me in head-to-head matchups, so I'm okay with that. Lots of ties, but a few other wins, so I'm okay with how my team is currently sitting here. I want to get some steals. Greggy Munro is a decent steal guy. He can get me some field goal percentage, get me some rebounds. He is the guy that I want if he happens to still be around at my next selection, and he's not, because Ciccone just took him at a pick 134, just continually sniping me and taking the guys that I want. I suppose that's just something that happens in these drafts. Ryan Nauss takes Jarrett Allen. I was big on Jarrett Allen as a late-round pick. I'm not so big anymore. I think that we're going to see Tyler Zeller, you know, play that backup role at least for the first month or two of the season. And yeah, stashing a guy in a daily changes head-to-head league is a really, really tough thing to do. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out. James Anderson takes Dwayne Wade without a team. Dwayne Wade, I'm not big on it. If he goes to the Cavs, I think he's going to have more rest days. He's going to have limited minutes. They said they're going to start him. I just don't see good numbers. Now, Snelling's taken Deion Waiters there. Really, really strong pick. I would have taken him there. Now, some of my options at the top of my list here are Justin Holliday. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Tyreek. Yeah, I'm okay with taking Tyreek. Now, Holliday is up the top of this list because of his relative strength in getting steals, which might be something that is useful for me. Robin Lopez off the board to Alex Reclean there also. You know, Tyreek is becoming a guy that I'm going to take a look at. So let's, I've got Greggy Munro's gone. So let's go to Mr. Evans and get him ready. Yeah, I'm big on taking Tyreek as a late pick. Heard me say that plenty of times. Norm Powell still available. Tim Mozgov still a decent late round sort of a pick guy. At this point, you know, projected standings after this, they're not really going to tell a full story because I'm taking flyers on guys. So the guys that might not be projected as high, and I'm hoping that they can give me that upside. So that's, you know, when you look at projected standings, it's fine to look at after the first 10 or so picks. But now we're taking flyers. And you're seeing Kelly Linick off the board here to Eric. Nick Whalen taking Johnny Collins, who, you know, I'm a massive fan of, who, if that works out, that's a huge pick for him. You want to take Tyreek here with this selection and see how this all pans out if I get the opportunity to. Who's on the board here, Kyle? Come on, Kyle. Don't do it to me again. Thon McCur. Ah, oh, Kyle's a massive Thon fan, so that's that makes sense. Gortat's still available if anyone's interested. I'm not. Tyler Johnson to Toporek. And now Ness is on the board. Who is he going to take that is going to piss me off? Oh, you've got to be joking every fucking time. How does this keep happening? All right, so there goes, if you didn't tell by that reaction, Tyreek Evans went one pick before me. So let's totally reassess what we're looking at here and who we are selecting with this pick. Probably should have had a second guy lined up. Let's go with my North of the Border boyfriend and take Big Norm Powell. And then for my last selection, what you're going to do? Do I just go completely flyerish and take a guy like Justin Holliday? You know what? Yeah, I'm not feeling great about it. Screw it. Let's go. Justin Holliday, last pick off the board. Done. So again, this is going to look at my team. It's going to, if I bring up the draft track, you're going to have a look at it. And it's not going to look great because I've taken a flyer on a guy like Holliday there just to see how it pans out. So my team's not going to look the strongest. You see a lot of those colors becoming lighter or redder, which is not exactly how I want to look at it. But Holiday is going to be the first guy that's kicked off my team when things start going awry and I need to pick up someone, but I'm okay with that. You know, I've got some flyer types there. Deadman might be considered a flyer. Holiday, Powell. Gives me some ability to go and grab some players later on, especially with Holiday and Powell. If Powell doesn't get the starting role, if Holiday doesn't get a starting role, it's worth a look to take a look at that. Projected standings, I'm still there in fifth. Pretty happy with how I'm looking with that team, but again, looking at projected standings at this point, yeah. It does have its limitations. Caris LeVert off the board at 146. Gortat at 147. Totally fine with Gortat at 147. Probably should have taken him myself, to be honest. With an IR spot, Jabari Parker, I expect him to go at some point during this round, even though he won't be back until February. So you're going to get very limited action out of Jabari Parker this season. Derrick Rose off the board to Kyle. I think you'll see Ersan Ilyasova go. Nick takes Jabari. Now, he is a Wisconsin native. So maybe there's a little bit of homerism there, but he's taken Jabari. Eric is on the board here. Hey, interestingly, Josh Smith comes in ranked 151. So congratulations to ESPN for having a guy that hasn't played in the league for 2 years ranked 151st. That's always useful for everybody involved. Seriously, who's doing that? Fix that up, man. Josh Smith, Houston. No, Josh Smith, China. Should not be there. De'Aaron Fox off the board to Eric. And we've got 6 picks left in this mock draft. So you can see my team there: Harden, Embiid, Conley, Bobkov, Rondo, Az Gordon, LaMarcus Aldridge, Enes Kanter, The Undertaker, Darren Collison, Justin Holliday, Reggie Jackson, and Norman Powell. And that's the way my mock draft turned out. You can see I got sniped pretty much every spot along the way. Had a weird auto draft situation happen when I was looking to take the Iron Shoulder Goran Dragic. But you can go back and see how all that, and shit doesn't always go to plan. Clearly, I had plenty of plans. I wanted Clint Capella. I wanted to grab Tyreek late. Yeah, Chandler Parsons. Someone should be grabbing Chandler Parsons here. Alex took Frank Ntilikina. Snellings took Jordan Clarkson. But shit doesn't always go to plan. Stuff changes all the time. So that is something you do need to pay attention to. You do need to be aware of when all this stuff, it does not go wrong necessarily, but you got to have these additional plans. And doing a draft and speaking about it at the same time is not the ultimate way to pay attention. And the draft screen has just completely disappeared with a couple of picks left. And get it back up. Oh, it's gone. Oh, well. The draft is done.
Kyle is going to be writing this draft up for Basketball Monster, so you will be able to see it up on the Basketball Monster site. I hope you guys enjoyed this mock draft. I'm going to do an auction mock at some point. Not sure when that's going to be, but that is going to be coming. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify, and leave a 5-star review. Just for anyone who listened yesterday, yoga went fine last night. I didn't think I'd be able to do it. The poses seemed pretty easy. A few stretches, a few pain points, but hey, all good. Next one to try, hot yoga. Maybe I'm going to try that one soon. I'll let you know how that all works out. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Evan Turner. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.